Good evening.
Good evening.
It's great to be in the house of the Lord.
Amen.
And we have the privilege tonight of having his company. Hallelujah. There are a couple of prayer requests. I think I'd like to start with that, if I could have a couple of the brethren come and we could take those before the Lord tonight. Brother Richard, would you join me? And Brother David, could you come, please? If you'd stand and join us in prayer.
This request is for Mrs. Margaret Booker. Margie has a recurrence of a non-malignant lump on her neck. It is putting pressure on her windpipe. She is looking for relief and a healing touch from the Lord. Praise God. Praise God.
Praise the Lord.
Father, we just bow our hearts before you this evening as we lift up this need before you, our healer, our deliverer, Father. There is nothing that we can bring before you, Father, that you have not already paid the price for.
Yes.
We cannot ask, Father, beyond what you are able to do. As we stand together, Father, we just pray that your touch and your hand would be upon our sister. She would be conscious, Father, of a change come over her, and let this thing just cease its growth and cease its effect upon her body, we pray. Let it be removed, Father, we pray, and let it be permanent. We ask it in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. Praise God.
This prayer request is submitted by Phyllis Shepherd of the Edmonton Assembly, and it's for her brother, Stacy Shepherd. Please pray for my brother, Stacy Shepherd, who is suffering from black lungs. Let's pray. Father, we are so mindful as we read in your word, as they brought different ones with different sicknesses and ailments,
Amen.
Blind,
Amen.
Crippled, deaf, dumb. And they brought them to Jesus. In so many places in the scripture it said he healed them all.
Amen.
But Lord, in some cases he also said, ask, do you believe? And when the response was, yes, I believe, he said, let it be unto you according to your faith.
Amen.
So Father, we are thankful that the Spirit of the Son of God dwells within us as we pray these prayers tonight.
Amen.
And Lord, we pray for Stacy. We lift him up before you,
Amen.
Believing, Lord, through the faith of the Son of God who lives within us. And we just ask you tonight, Lord, as we join our hearts together, that you would touch this man and deliver him from this dreaded disease. Lord, you are well able, and we know that. Lord, just as the man said to Jesus, Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. Lord, you are well able to do these things. And Lord, we believe. We believe with the measure of faith that you have given us. And we leave it in your hands.
Hallelujah.
In the name of the Lord Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. That song, I think we were just playing In His Presence, was that? Yes, if we could sing that, please. In His Presence. The Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, for the saints to take the kingdom, it is time. It is time. It is time for the saints to take the kingdom.
Thank you.
think that God is moving us on.
Yes.
He is leading the way.
Yes.
A way we have never gone before. And that's a little scary sometimes. You know, you look at what you have and you realize that there is no way you can depend on what you have or who you are or what you are. The only thing that you can depend on is the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
Because you've never been this way. And he's got the road map. He knows from the beginning to the end.
Yes.
He's got it all figured out. He knows where the provisions are. And he'll provide that for us.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Glory to God.
God is leading the way. Or God is moving us on. He is leading the way. Let's sing that song.
God is moving us on. He is leading the way. It's a way we have never gone before. There are mountains to climb. There are valleys to cross. But before us we see a mountain low. God is moving us on. He is leading.
We can be set free that easily if we're going that slow. So let's just give it a little bit of a speed up. Not too much faster. Maybe, Brian, could you lead us in the tempo, please?
Worthy of honor and worthy of glory and worthy of praise.
Worthy of glory, worthy of praise.
Better, huh? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Oh, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Lord. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Set my spirit free that I might worship thee. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah.
Set my spirit free that I may worship thee. Set my spirit free that I may praise thine.
Let all bondage go.
Let all bondage go.
Let deliverance flow.
Let deliverance.
Set my spirit free.
Thank you.
as we sang that song, I just felt like I want to know Jesus. I feel like I know who he is, but I don't know if I know the depths. I feel like I need more of Jesus. I feel that if I know him more, I have to worry less about the problems that I have and the problems we have, and that he'll just take care of those things. I tend to get pretty self-focused sometimes. You probably don't have that problem, but I'm still working on it. But the Lord is good. And he takes our self-focus and focuses it on himself. And as we move to that, and as we spend time with him and make him our friend, and deeply have that deep, have that deep relationship with him, that everyday, every moment relationship that we talked about already, that we heard about, you know, in other meetings in this camp. That's when we begin to know what he wants, and we can be led by his Spirit. Because, you know, you may come to work for me, just for example. If you don't know who I am or what I want, it's pretty hard to do what I need. But once you know me and what I would do in a situation, and, you know, you learn this through school and your boss and all kinds of places, you learn what the person needs, and you try to fulfill that. That's a wonderful thing. And I think that that's where the Lord wants us. He wants us close. You know, draw me closer to you, Jesus. We need that closeness. And when we achieve that, it doesn't matter what the rules are until then. You know, they're good to bring us, they're good schoolmasters to bring us to Christ. But that's the important thing, is that relationship we have one-on-one with him. And we will lack for nothing if we have that relationship solid. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Me closer, Lord, to you. Jesus, draw me close. just starts with a simple choice. All those things that we heard about today, being led by the Spirit, it's just a choice in my heart. And you know, when I'm being tempted, it's just a simple choice. I can choose to do what is right, and I can ask the Holy Spirit to help me to do what is right. Hallelujah. You make that choice for Jesus. Make that choice in your heart to do what he wants you to do. We all do. And that strengthens us. And the surprising part is it strengthens those around us. We've all heard the stories of when somebody stands up for the Lord and so many follow right along. You're leading somewhere. He's leading you, but you're leading somebody else because they're watching the Christ in you. Make that choice. Make that choice earnestly in your heart. It's not just a choice you're going to make tonight. It's a choice you're going to make every moment of your life. Every moment. And we make bad choices. We're a work in progress. I make lots of bad choices. That's okay. You know, it's okay to make mistakes. He's made it, so there's forgiveness built in. Hallelujah. Make the choice for the Lord. You may be seated. Tonight we're going to hear, I don't see where he is, we're going to hear from Brother Prasad. Yes, there he is. Thank you, musicians. Appreciate it. And if you would come now, Brother would.
You have to hook me up here. Yeah.
I can still do this.
Yeah. Praise God. Good evening.
Good evening.
It is good to be in the house of the Lord.
Yes.
Let's just bow in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you this evening that we could gather. Thank you for gracing us with your presence. Thank you that we could be found in your house at this time. Lord, we pray that you bless your word unto our hearts. And glorify the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for your word will not return unto you void, but will accomplish that which it was sent. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I would like to emphasize four words this evening as part of my message to the church. And I believe one of my reasons for doing this is that you will remember this message for a long time. At least I think we have one principal in the house, and I don't know how many school teachers, but these four words that I would like to share with you, they all start with the letter B. Makes it easier for you. And we have three sections here, and the middle section of the congregation seems to be the larger or the largest grouping. And if I was a school teacher, I would have put some added pressure to the middle section. Because the older or the bigger you are, you could withstand greater pressure. So the four words this evening that I'd like to bring to your attention is, they are, three words are in the present participle. And the first one is the word bringing. Did you get that one? Bringing. B-R-I-N-G-I-N-G. Bringing. The second word is blessing. The second B, blessings. The third word is breaking. Breaking. And the final word, it's more a noun. That's bountifulness. These are all a way of remembering. In the natural, sometimes we hear some things and they just slip from us. We hear a message and sometimes it slips from us. And that's quite often with me, because the human capacity is so much limited. But in the spirit, we can absorb things and it remains there, knowingly or unknowingly. Then the Holy Spirit brings into remembrance the things that we have learned. So Peter was accurate when he said that he bring into remembrance. I should underscore the fact that everything that you're going to hear here this evening are going to be old things, nothing new. Nothing new, no surprises. So they're just reminders, and we as human beings need to be reminded. So can you tell me what's the four words that I gave to you just now? The first one?
Bringing.
Excellent. The second word?
Blessings.
Okay, over here, the third word?
Breaking.
I didn't get you.
Breaking.
Breaking, yeah. And everybody, the last word?
Bountifulness.
Bountifulness. Amen. And this is a particular season where the world looks back at history and look back to that pivotal point when Jesus Christ was crucified on the cross of Calvary. And with that in mind, I'd just like to share some thoughts on a particular verse. First of all, there's a difference between the word bringing is very simple, and I'm going to express this very in a simplistic form, because most of my experience has been in the what we might call the uncivilized world, in the jungles of South America, which I enjoy very much. I don't have quite as much of a privilege here as I would have there in the jungles, because I could preach for 4 or 5 hours there. So, bringing is the movement of something towards is the movement of something towards something or towards someone. Bringing. The difference between bringing and giving is giving has a little bit more depth. Giving is the transferring of possession. So we bring ourselves to the meeting and to church and so on. But giving, there is a greater depth that we give ourselves to the Lord. And that's important. So I preface that word bringing in order to amplify the word giving, which is should be our responsibility, our joy, our response to the Lord. The second word that I mentioned was the word blessing. And blessings, I'm going to be very short. One word for blessing. Anybody? Anybody? One word for blessing.
Gift.
Gift, yes. Okay, I have written here, the word for blessing is approval. God's approval. God's blessing. And the third one is breaking. Breaking. Before coming to the meeting here in the office where the brethren gathered, that beautiful song was raised. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on me. Break me. Melt me. mold me and fill me. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on me. Breaking refers to the shattering or the separation into pieces, the total displacement. And that's, we're going to look at this later, that breaking speaks of an area that belongs to the Spirit of God. And then the final word is bountifulness, which means abundance. And especially for the farmers, they use this word a lot in the Jewish context. Abundance. And I'd like us to turn over to using these same four words, bringing, blessing, breaking, and bountifulness. We can apply these four, what I call words or principles, to many stories, many lessons in the scriptures. And we could see there seems to be a thread coming through in the scriptures. The one that mainly comes to mind is the one that the whole world reflects on at Easter. And that's taken from the book of Luke chapter 24. Luke chapter 24. And I like these words that Dr. Luke had penned. And verse 22. Sorry, Mark. My apologies. I recall that there was once in a local assembly, I asked the congregation, could you please turn to Psalm 151? And this is exactly, I'm hearing the tumbling of leaves all over the place. This wasn't a trick question. This was a mistake on my part. So we're going to turn to Luke chapter 14 instead. I'm sorry. What did I say?
Mark.
I really, finally, final answer. Mark. Mark 14. Mark chapter 14. And I think this is the right one. And we can turn to verse 22. Everybody has it? Okay, 14:22. And as they did eat, Jesus took bread. He took the bread and blessed and broke it and gave it to them and said, take, eat, this is my body. And he took the cup. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, and they all drank of it. And he said unto them, this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many. Verily, verily, I say unto you, I will drink no more of the fruit of the vine until that day that I drink it new in the kingdom of God. So if we look closely at verse 22, we see those four words that I've just mentioned. And as they did eat, you know, the Passover was quite a difficult time for both the disciples and Jesus. And the scripture says here, and as they did eat, Jesus took the bread. He took the bread because the bread was given to him. The bread was brought to him. the unleavened bread. Isn't that so? And so when that bread was given to him, the scripture says that he blessed it. Number two, he blessed it. And after he blessed it, what was number three? He broke it. And what was number four? Blessing. He gave it to them. That was where the blessings was extended. And he gave it to them and he said, take, eat, this is my body. Do you follow me this evening?
Yes.
In the same token, we see right through the scriptures, this is the way that, and there are many, many examples we can look at in those, in that form, and we could see it comes out in such a beautiful way. And I could go on to many, many examples. I've been studying this trend, and I see like there's a thread that went, that goes right through the scriptures, and many, many examples with Joseph in the Old Testament, with the many characters that went through their struggles and so on. And it seems that God would have us to go through some sort of struggles because he is bringing out and the best out of us. As we bring ourselves to him, he is doing a work. He blesses us and he begins a work of breaking and dismantling. And I like the way John puts it. John says what? That I must decrease and Christ must increase.
Hallelujah.
And so that's a process. And a process that whoever, wherever we are, whoever we are, we must commit to that process. We must be willing. And in being willing, God will help us. Can you turn over to the book of Jeremiah chapter 4? I'd just like to read another verse there too. Jeremiah. It's after the book of Isaiah. Jeremiah chapter 4. And in the interest of time, I'll just read that one main verse that stands out. And that's verse 3. Thus saith the Lord to the men of Judah and Jerusalem, break up your fallow ground and sow not among thorns. That was strictly written in a farmer's context, in an agricultural context, to break up the fallow ground, the uncultivated ground, to break up and do not sow among thorns. I'd like us to see our hearts and our spirits as the soil. And as we come before God and we bring to him, we give ourselves to him, and he's been blessing us, and he's been breaking and melting and molding and further blessing us. That word bountifulness, it's not only for us, but it goes beyond. It extends to others. So, but there, you know, and the Word of God is so much dealing with us submitting ourselves to the Lord, giving ourselves to him, bringing ourselves to him. Bringing ourselves, I mean, 100% to the Lord. This is not a deal we are working out with the Lord. He has given us his all. He's already done his part. The onus is on us as we come to the Lord to walk with God completely and wholly devoted to Him, committed to His will, committed to His purpose. That's what God wants. And the example that I'd like to come to here is in the same book of Jeremiah. Jeremiah chapter 18, a very popular portion of scripture. So if you have your Bibles, just turn over with me to Jeremiah chapter 18. The word which, sorry, does everybody, you found it? Amen. The word which came from, which came to Jeremiah from the Lord, to Jeremiah from the Lord, arise and go down to the potter's house, and there I will cause thee to hear my words. Jeremiah has to shift his location where he was. He had to go down to the potter's house because God wanted to show him or teach him a lesson, what in most cases we would call an object lesson. God wants to sometimes give a show and tell lesson to us. And he takes us down a pathway where we not only see, we hear, we understand in our human context, in the human context, what God is doing. And so it is here we see that, arise, go down to the potter's house, and I will show thee, and there I will cause thee to hear my words. Then I went down to the potter's house, and behold, he wrought a work on the wheels. Some work going on there. Verse 4. And the vessels he made of clay was marred. And the vessel that he made of clay was marred. And I'd like you to bear this in mind. When the potter made a vessel, instead of saying, well, it's finished here, it was marred. It had to be broken. It had to be crushed in the hand of the potter. So he made it again, another vessel, and it seemed good to the potter to make it. In this modern day, if we make a piece, handicraft, and it's finished, it's finished. We're not going back there to crush that to start over again or to do something. It reminds me of it has been said, this is a quotation that remained with me for many, many years. And it goes like this: when God has an important work, he chooses an important person and he crushes them. I'll repeat it. When God has an important work, he chooses an important person and he crushes them. Now, that could be very discouraging, but that's not the end. It goes on, and there's a remaking that takes place. And we will see that from Scripture, where that happens. Especially with this story here, with the potter, because brokenness, as I mentioned initially, is a work of the Holy Spirit. Break me, melt me, mold me. After going through that process, then fill me. Spirit of the living God. He knows how to break us, to melt us, to mold us, and to fill us by His Spirit. Brokenness is dependent on our submission to God. It's very difficult for God, the Holy Spirit, to break the things that we are so much fused to, to break that hollow ground, that uncultivated ground in our hearts, that heart of stone, that hardness, that way is only by the Spirit of God. So our attitude is very important as we come to God and we yield ourselves to Him. I know this is nothing new, for the God would want to us to make us in the way He would want us to be. Yieldedness is very important. I think of the serpent. You know, the serpent is there and could be very dangerous. And you go and you disturb that serpent. What happens? He jumps at you, or if he's a cobra, you know. In other words, there is always fighting against you, would not submit. The snake hisses back at you the moment you go even close. And we've seen that happen all over the place, all of these jungles and so on where they dwell, especially if they're nesting and so on. But there is a particular worm, a millipede, I should say. It's a little millipede in Guyana. It's a brown millipede. Now, the word millipede, milli means thousand, and pede means feet. So millipede, but it does not carry 1,000 feet, but they just use that. But this is a harmless creature, very small, about 3 to 4 inches. I'm speaking in American terms with inches here. And the thing about this particular millipede, as he's crawling along and you touch him, you just touch him, he coils around in a circle. In other words, that brings out the illustration of submission. You touch him and he coils himself around in a circle. I'm submitted to you. Crush me if you will. I'm under your power and control. But you could not do that to a snake. A snake will snap back at you and will inject some poison or something. So that's our nature. Basically, our self-nature is just like that snake, but want to hiss and fight back against the things of God. Right. But the millipede would say, Lord, and would submit easily. And so that's the way God wants us to be, to submit. Submission to His will. When His will becomes our will, instead of our will and no will. We must be submissive in order for the work of the Holy Spirit to be accomplished in our lives. This scripture was quoted maybe the second time, and so I don't mind quoting it again. And maybe God would have us to hear this over and over again. I believe in this camp there's something that God wants us to hear. In Romans chapter 12. Romans 12, 1 and 2. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. Presenting your bodies a living sacrifice. Holy, acceptable unto man, unto God. Holy and acceptable unto God. That you may prove what is that? Good. Can you help me? An acceptable and perfect will of God. Not the will of man, the will of God. And what? Be not conformed to this world. That's the part of our self nature. Wants always to be conformed to the things of the world. The fleshly things. The things that appeal to our senses. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed. Transform by the renewing of your minds. Three beautiful words that mean so vastly different. Conformed, transformed, and renewed. I think it was the Phillips translation said, be not squeezed into the mold of the world. We're squeezed and pressured into the mold of the world. And that's the exhortation here. But be transformed. There's a transformation that is taking place. It's not change. A change is the moving from. A change is just something temporal. We come back tomorrow or Sunday and we change our clothing. And we wear Easter clothing. Or whatever it is, right? So that's changing. But transformation is not change. Transformation is from the inside out, complete. Complete from the inside out. You know, when the prodigal son was, when he came home, and he embraced his dad, his father said, this my son, he was dead, and now he's alive. He didn't say he was good or he was bad, and now he's good. So there's a difference between that, between death and life, as opposed to good or bad. Because, you know, in the flesh, there is so much of things that we could do that appear to be good. But the renewing of our mind. And that could only be done by a work of the Holy Spirit. In Romans chapter 12. Can we read it again? I don't mind going over that. Just let's read it again for the purpose of hearing it. Faith cometh by hearing and hearing of the Word of God. Our growth cometh by hearing of God's Word. Our depth in the Lord. Everything comes that way. It's good for us to go through these things over and over again. So Romans chapter 12, I'm going to reread. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And that whole chapter of Romans, it's a very good, very good chapter. You know, in the beginning, when God formed man out of the dust of the ground, out of clay. And it has been said that 96, and well, I hope I'm right with this one. I read this, that 96 of the elements that are found in the human body is found in the earth. To show that we actually came from mud, dirt. Can it get better than that? And so we were formed out of the dust of the ground. That's what God did. Adam was a lump of clay. Formed by God. He fell from grace. And he was deformed by sin. Formed by God, deformed by sin. And you know, it didn't end here. The second Adam came along. Aren't you happy about that? And then it was transformed by Jesus Christ. Transformation took place. And that's the realm of the Spirit. And that continual work of transformation is being accomplished daily. You know, it is, I ask myself the question, what it is that God is breaking me and melting me and molding me and making me and transforming me and bringing me into the image of Christ. Because the purpose of the church is to be in the image of Christ. That's the whole purpose of the church. And so we go through certain things and we feel, well, why am I going through this? And we are pressured from every hand. We are discouraged sometimes. We don't know what to do. And you know, the thing about it, some of these things that we face comes from within. That's what the Apostle Paul said. He had his fightings and fears from within and without. And so we go through that all the time. But what's the purpose of this? Sometimes people within our own household, those that are closely related to us, they're the ones that, oh, I'm getting frustrated now. I can't take this anymore. It's at that point that God uses those things. He uses those things to break us. And we will not have the victory until we come to the place where we can say, Lord, I'm giving this over to you. And not until if we are being pressured and we become itchy and touchy and nervy, all this thing happening over and over again, and we say, Lord, help me here. Okay? The next time it comes around, we must be cognizant of the fact that we are looking to the Lord to help us. And the more we are aware of that, we just give it over to the Lord. But that problem will not be solved until we reach to a place where we could say, Lord, I'm giving you this. I'm giving it over to you. And once we have done that, and the temptation comes back, and we say to ourselves, you know, I've given that over to you, Lord, and I'm not going to be frustrated now. Not this time. I'm not going to be so discouraged. I'm not going to allow that. Think of the Apostle Paul, all of those things that he's been through, and he struggled, and everything that he's been through. And he come to the conclusion, you know what he said? None of these things move me. None of these things move me. So that's the encouragement. It's an encouraging message. It's not for us to be down. It's an encouragement to us to say, well, whatever comes our way, God allows it. And I love that scripture in Romans 8:28. And we know, and I love to put it this way, and we know that we know that we know, and that could go on for a while, that we know that all things work together for good to them that love God. So this is not a strange message. The persecution that God is working in you, it's coming for your good. It might come as a tidal wave. It's working a good for you. God is breaking you and melting you and shaping your personality so you could be the sweetest person. Oh, he's no longer annoyed with me. He is. But 25 years ago, you should have seen him. He was very upsetting and so on. But God has really worked. Apart from the grandchildren that came along that helped him a little bit, you know. But God brings these circumstances so that we can be trained. That's how the Spirit of God moves in us. That's the breaking I'm talking about. That's the melting and the molding. And we've got to be yielded. And as we yield to him, think of Joseph. Remember those four words again? What are they? Bringing, blessing, breaking, bountifulness. Joseph, for example, he had such a beautiful vision, you know, and everything else, the many coats, and, you know, but his own brothers, there was jealousy within his own household. And sometimes we are surprised when the attacks come from within. And we wonder, why this shouldn't be? Yes, it shouldn't be, but it happens. And so Joseph, he was pressured in every. He went through that. And as he brought himself, he was given. Isn't that so? He gave himself to the Lord. And he was blessed. Sometimes we feel that blessings are only positive things. Sometimes God allows a wave of negative, what we might call negative things, because he has a way of turning these things around. Remember Romans 8:28, that all things, whether it be negative, whether it be semi-negative, whatever, it works together for good. God has an objective. God is working on us. So Joseph, he was blessed, tremendously blessed, with the abilities and so on. And he was given that approval. He obeyed the Lord. And you know what happened? His blessing was tested. His blessing was tested. After he was blessed, remember, bringing, he gave himself to the Lord. Is that so? Then, and the blessing, and then the breaking. Well, I tell you, he's been through a lot of breaking. He was falsely accused by Potiphar's wife. That's what it is. People will falsely accuse us. They will tell lies against us. We will go through these things, just like Jesus went through these things. And then, you know, he was sent to prison. He was squeezed from every hand. How discouraging that must have been. And God was working on him and working on him and shaping him until, you know, God was ready to say, okay, it's time now. And God's favor and that blessing came out, and God prepared a man as the prime minister of Egypt, blessed him. And that blessing did not remain with Joseph. What was the last B? Bountifulness. Bountifulness. He was able to bless now his own brothers who ill-treated him. That's the Christian walk. And I found in my limited experience in walking with the Lord, sometimes the people who tell you all kinds of things and are very abusive, and they attack you, those are the ones that God would use, that you have to go and rescue them. It's ironic, but you have to do it, because who are we? We are servants. That's the role that Jesus played. That's the example he did. He was mocked, and he didn't retaliate. I think when God is breaking us and bringing these things to mold our personalities, we should look at Jesus and see he did not fight back like that snake. He yielded. He called. He gave in, just like that millipede. The scripture puts it this way. It said he was as a lamb to the slaughter. He opened not his mouth. It's easy for us to defend ourselves when someone is saying something. No, I will have to speak up and set this right. I have to argue. Our defense is the Lord. If something is not the truth, we don't have to fight to defend that. God will defend that for us. So, as we walk with the Lord, we will find these things here. And in the book of, I think it's Genesis chapter 50, verse 20. 50:20. Joseph finally told his brothers, he said, "You meant it to be evil towards me." I'm just paraphrasing. But in Genesis chapter 50, just let's turn over to it very quickly. And but he said that God meant it to be good. Hallelujah. These are the exact words he said. "But as for you, ye thought evil against me." Does that sound like the world in 2018? Yeah. With all that the politics is going on and all of the squabbles and fighting and materialistic way and shooting and everything that's going on there. "And you have meant, you thought evil against me. But God meant it unto good." Hallelujah. We must see that God will reverse those circumstances. And so whatever comes our way, we be faithful to the Lord. He will make it up to us. He will make it up to us. And so it meant good to bring to pass, as it is this day, to save much people alive. If Joseph was not submissive and obedient, he would not have had the blessing to overflow, that bountifulness, that overflow. That's it. You know, in the, I think it's the book of Matthew, it mentioned about that blessing of that good measure, pressed down, shaken together and running over. And many, I heard many preachers speak on this, and they refer to this as an offering. "Give and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together and running over." Can you see the principles there? Give. I remember the first one, bringing. Bringing and you give. "And it shall be given unto you." Good measure. Press down, going through the pressures and the breaking, and then shaking together. I wonder sometimes if that's an accomplishment that God is doing in the church. It just did not stop there of shaking together, because if objects are shaken together, there's a separation, as I mentioned about that word breaking, the shattering or causing them to separate pieces. Measure and what? Running over, the overflow. That's the bountifulness. That's the blessings. So as we continue in our walk with God, if we haven't gone this way, we will experience it. There isn't one child of God who I know who has never been through this. You can hear this from every angle, because we constantly deal with the minds of men. And that's why we need to come out from that carnal realm and to dwell into that realm of the Holy Spirit. We need to be guided by the Holy Spirit. We need to be under the control of the Holy Spirit. That's what Paul meant when he speaks in the epistles, that he brought his body into subjection. We have to, and we have to give ourselves to the Lord. If we are bound by some form or habit, as was expressed, give it over to the Lord. Fast and pray. Cry out to God. Believe he's able to break that and by the anointing. We think of breaking yokes in the lives of other people, and we think of sin and alcohol and drugs and and all kinds of things. But within our own lives, within my own life, I need that anointing to break me free from any habits, from anything that binds me. I met a person here recently at North Battleford, and they were very, very distraught because a close relative of theirs had committed suicide. And I was told that that's the third person that she had known had committed suicide for this month. And there's been some rise, and that's very discouraging. And I was telling her, only in the Lord. Only in the Lord. And that's the salvation message we give to people. But it's deeper than that. We have received the blessings. We have given ourselves. We've received that blessing. And it's for us to continually move on with that. Look at John 3:16. I know that that's the scripture verse we preach to the unsaved. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Analyze it. Look at it. For God the Father, so loved that he what? Gave. He gave his Son. He brought his Son into this world. He brought his Son into the world. The bringing. And it just didn't stop there. That whosoever believeth in him. Why? Because he was crushed. He was like that broken rod. He was crushed at the cross of Calvary. And the Father, after fulfilling and the will of the Father, he was blessed. He was blessed. And I love those words. It is finished. Yes. Hallelujah. Yes. And then, you know what? The bountifulness. You look across this congregation here. You look at the whole world. You see the bountifulness of God. Saving men and women. Hallelujah. Whosoever, that bountifulness goes to whosoever. Believeth in him, should not perish, have that everlasting life. So, John 3:16 is not for the man who has never experienced Christ only. It's for me. It's for us. As we walk with God, to see the obedience, to see the willingness, to see the submission to the Father's will. As he just gave himself. Let the Christ in you give place to the Christ in you. How I've expressed some of the ways that God is breaking us and melting us and molding us. And God has a way or a mechanism that each one of us is placed into a different mold. A different mold. So when he puts us into, we came out of his mold, and he looks at us, okay, you've accepted the Lord, then that beautiful work starts. Salvation is free. That's one of the things that really brought me into this move of the Spirit. Salvation is free. But the kingdom of God will cost us everything. Every ounce of giving up. And giving it all. Like Ornan, who had that threshing floor. And David came by. The scripture said, he gave it all. He gave the threshing instrument. He gave the threshing floor. Everything. He gave it all. That's the secret. One of the most unfulfilling things of the Christian of our walk is to know and to experience that we are holding back something. Yeah. And if we hold back, we find that level of dissatisfaction there. We feel unfulfilled. Yeah. But the beauty is the more we give, And the more we give, is the more he comes and he takes it. Just like that bread that was given to him, and he broke it. He blessed it and he broke it and he gave it. That's a key remembrance. Good Friday. Key remembrance. He took it because it was given to him. It was brought to him, in other words, bringing. Broke it, blessed it, and he gave it. And that's what we're enjoying today. That's what we're enjoying. As often as you do it, to do it in remembrance of him. That's one. That's the bountifulness. That's the continuity of this kingdom message that God has entrusted into us. So I'd like to encourage you that there's much more. I would have loved to go on to more, because this is a topic that seems to be inexhaustible. But I'm not here to preach the everlasting gospel. Thank you for listening. And I'd like us to ask us one thing. If we're going through that struggling and we find there's something more that we need to do to give it all to the Lord, we can simply give it over to him and give until there's just no more to give and he comes in. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh in me. Can we stand if you're able to do so? Spirit of the living God, fall fresh on me. To ask if we could sing it one more time and we could rededicate ourselves to the Lord and say, Lord, I'm giving you my all tonight. I'm giving you for you to break, melt, mold, and to shape and to remove the things that you do not like in my life. I'm giving it all to you tonight. Spirit of the living God, for it's not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord. I encourage you tonight. Just focus on the Lord as we sing this song again, giving ourselves, making that fresh commitment as we stand before him. Can we sing it again?
Spirit of the living God. Oh.
Heavenly Father, tonight, as we stand in your divine presence, Lord, we give ourselves to you. Like that threshing floor and the instruments and everything was given to David, Lord, we give you all. We ask you to make us willing where we're not willing. Make us obedient. Let's not fight against your will, O God. Teach us to listen to the still small voice saying, this is the way, walk ye in it. O Lord, we thank you and we praise you for giving us that life that you've imparted. Bless us now. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. We can be seated. Thank you very much. Announcements, etc.
Somebody help me to be untangled from the burdens of life. Oh, wow, I hope this is not gone on speaker. Can you just... I hope. Yeah? Well, there's not announcements or anything. Well, Brian? Well, there does not seem to be any announcement right now, so can we stand?
Lord, it's been an honor to be in your presence. Lord, there seemed to be an unusual anointing, a different way that you've been moving in our hearts tonight, dear Lord. And we want to give thanks to you for that. Lord, help us to be bearing the Son's nature, to be walking closer to you, to give up the things we've been so stubborn in, dear Lord. And now, dear Lord, as we go our own way, let your blessing enhance our fellowship, dear Lord, and enhance our rest tonight. And everything that we say and do, may it be to your honor and glory. We pray and dismiss us with your blessing, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.